God for that anchor, amen. I appreciate all of you this morning and thank the Lord for those who've come to help with the E-team and others who are participating in the service this morning. Roland, that was an awesome song, Brother Danny. Brad, I appreciate you, amen. Thank the Lord for you. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalms number 34. Psalms 34. If you're at home, you've got your Bible close by and or listen to us. And look at Psalms number 34. While you're finding that, I want to just reemphasize a few things. Now, tonight at 6:30, there's a message God gave me many, many years ago, and it's called Where is the Lamb? And God gave me that message when I was a student in Tennessee Temple Schools in 1969 or 70, but it's still true. Where is the Lamb? I want you to hear that tonight, and Jim's got that all together for us. It'll be aired at 6:30, and call your friends, tell them to tune in on Facebook, Internet, whatever, Benson Grove Baptist, to our website, and all the media, and we'll join together for that message. And there'll be special music and all from our church on there, and you're going to enjoy that broadcast. Then Wednesday night, we'll be back in the auditorium for a live broadcast. I want to have Sunday morning and Sunday night to be able to give you an update of what's going on, maybe special announcements. And Brad gave you the website, prayer@bensongrovebaptist.org, and that way you can leave prayer requests. Of course, you can go through all the other means, call Trudy or myself or anybody through the week. If you wanted to text me, particularly on Wednesday, any kind of prayer request, I'll make note of those and share them. Brad mentioned to you that God changed my mind on my message this morning. I have been blessed going back through the Old Testament, and God had dealt with me about something. I'm going to kind of work a little bit of it in the message here this morning. But I felt led of the Lord when I first got up this morning. This came to my mind and heart. And I said, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. And he settled this in my heart. I want to read Psalms 34 for you right now. Psalms 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. Good times, bad times, sunshine and rain, sickness and health. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's at all times. Good time, bad time, sickness and health, daylight, dark, snow, rain, whatever it is. I'm going to bless his name. I'm going to praise him. This is the day the Lord's made. For some of you who know I'm on Facebook, it's a learning experience for me. And some of you saw a picture of a sunrise. There's a real good devotion goes with that, but nobody heard it. And because I don't know how to operate the thing yet. But I'm going to get another lesson from Claire, my granddaughter, right after services this morning. And so I'll get help, and maybe this week there'll be a few that comes up. But I hope that you'll watch us on Facebook. But this is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And David said, I'm going to continue to praise the Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. God's not changed. He's still God. He's still on the throne. Thank God for the great songs this morning. The anchor still holds. Amen. And God's in command. God's in control of everything. And we magnify him this morning. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Now on last week, I went back to 2 Chronicles 7:14 and where Solomon prayed the prayer about the temple. And he said, Lord, if your people sin, we want you to hear them. And Lord, we just ask one thing, that your eyes would be upon this place and that your ears would be open to our prayer. Now, David learned a wonderful lesson. Did you know that your body is called the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit? Did you know that this is the temple of the living God? The Bible said, if a man defiles the temple, him will God destroy. So your body is the temple. And look at this. Look what David said. Listen to it again. Let me look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Just as surely as God promised that I'm watching the temple, my eyes are there, my ear is there, I hear prayer made that play. Now you and I have this wonderful privilege. His eyes are on you, and he's listening, and you have right to pray. You can come boldly before the throne of grace. You can hook up with heaven anytime, anywhere, any place that you want to. And he's made a promise. My eyes are upon you, and my ears are open to cry. Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart, and saveth such of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth the bones of all them that is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. What a promise. I want to call your attention to verse number 19. And if you have your Bibles open at home, look at this verse closely with me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Notice how the verse starts. One word, many, many afflictions. But then notice the last word of this verse, all. If you will, draw a line under the word many and a line under the word all, or circle it either way, many and all. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on this thought. All is more than many. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now would give me your anointing. Thank you, our Father, for the wonderful singing. Thank you for Roland being here to play the piano, and Brad leading the singing, the congregational singing, and for the specials this morning. God, thank you for Brother Danny and Roland. God, I pray, God, that you'd bless your word now to the heart of your people. Our Father, I know that there are many listening to us today. Our Father, the media audience seems to be saturated with so many words, so many messages. And Lord, I know that they're good and God encouraging people. And God, I pray, God, that your people will not, our Father, forget their personal, just close relationship with you. I pray, God, that they'll not spend so much time on media, but much time in meeting with the Lord. I pray, God, they'll walk out in the yard and see the trees and the birds and praise you and magnify your name. I pray there'll be encounters with God. Lord, your eyes are upon this tabernacle. Your ears are open to prayer made in this body. And I pray, God, that we'll commune with you. I pray, God, that we'll stay hooked up with Jesus through all of this. And God, help your people to grow. You made a promise in this passage of Scripture, the wicked will be judged, but those that trust you will not be desolate. And God bless now, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just some real quick thoughts this morning. Look at verse 19 again, Psalms 34. Many other afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. All is more than many. In the first place this morning, I'd suggest to you that all of our troubles look like at verse number 4. Notice, he said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, David didn't say, I don't have any fears. David did say this in one place. He said, what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust the Lord. You say, Brother Billy, what not have you any fear? Well, we may not ought to, but David did, and others in the Bible did who were good men, godly men and godly women. We live in a natural body. We live in a cursed world. We have an enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they fight against us all the time. He wars against our mind, causes us to doubt God, and I'm convinced that he does send the spirit of fear on us from time to time. And he said this, David said, he delivers me from all of my fear. You may have many fears today, fear about your income, fear about your family, fear about your health, fear about the future, all those. But I'm going to tell you right now, God is able to take care of all your fears and give you peace, because all is more than many. You say, Brother Billy, I got so many fears. Well, that don't make any difference. I don't care how many you got. If you add them all up and they stack as tall as you or as tall as your house or to the moon, all is over top of that. All of your fears. Not only all of your fears, but will you look a little further? Look at verse 34, verse number 6. this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And again, look over a little further, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. In regard to troubles, all is more than many. Oh, you got a lot of problems. You may have more. Nobody said much about the gas prices, but praise God that the gas prices are down. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. God's been good to us. But you may end up having trouble down the road with the needs you think you have at home or other things. But you've got all kind of troubles piling up on you. I think about our dear friends while this virus is raging. And we have friends who have cancer in their body. And oh, listen, I think about somebody, and I'm not belittling the virus. I know it's awesome and awful. But, well, you know, you think about a fever and all. But you think about our friends who are battling cancer today. Oh, they got trouble, and others have got trouble. People got trouble financially. There were some people who were going through problems before this happened, and now they're devastated. What are we going to do? But all these troubles we have, well, it doesn't make any difference. The Bible said that God delivered David out of all of his troubles. You take all of your troubles, stack them up high as you want to, and write the word all on top of them. God takes care of all of them. All of your troubles. He'll take care of all of your troubles. But notice back our text verse, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. God delivers us out of all of our afflictions, our sickness. Psalm 103 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all this, and with bless his holy name, and thank him who healeth all our diseases. He heals all of our diseases. God's able to do that. I was going to deal with David. And David was a great man of God. Saul was the first king of Israel. And he rose to prominence, and then he got very proudful. He stepped into the role of the priest and some other things, showing his arrogance and his pride. And because of that and some other reasons, God took the kingdom away from him. And there's a little statement made in those passages of Scripture dealing with that, where he says to Saul, the prophet says to Saul, when you were little in your own eyes, I blessed you. What happened is he got prideful. Well, David follows, and God blesses David, and God gives David great victories. But there comes a time when David is ruling over all the combined tribes of Israel, and God's blessing, he's conquered all of the neighboring countries, and he has his man, Joab, to go and number the people. And he said, Lord, why should I do that? All these men are your servant. All this nation is surrendered to you. And he said, you go by and number them. Well, that displeased the Lord, because that was a prideful thing. He had saw what had been done, and he wanted to kind of calculate so he could brag about how many people were under him and all those things. And because of that, God came to him and he said, David, you've sinned. And he gave him a choice of either a famine for a certain length of time, or a conquering army to come for a certain length of time, or a pestilence for 3 days. And David said, I'm going to put myself in your hands, God. Send the 3 days of pestilence. I don't know if he was thinking in the back of his mind, 3 days won't be so bad. But that pestilence, which means a contagious disease, rampaged through Israel for 3 days. 70,000 people died in 3 days. And David was in Jerusalem, and he was pleading. And the angel of the Lord came with a drawn sword to the gate of Israel. Unbeknown to David, God had already told the angel, it's enough. Save Israel, save Jerusalem. And David saw him coming, and he began to cry and confess. And he said, God, I'm the one who sinned. God, don't take all these people's lives. I'm the one who sinned. But you know what? God already brought him to a place of brokenness and repentance. But God stayed the plague, and the Bible said, and the angel put his sword back in his sheath, and the plague or the pestilence was stopped. In 3 days, God stopped it. And my dear friend, God's able. And you say, Brother Billy, I know of good people. I know of good people that God didn't heal. I have buried in this church many wonderful, wonderful Christians. Many of them, I felt like more dedicated to God than I was, more surrendered to God, had a closer walk with the Lord. And yet I buried them. And God has healed me over and over again. And that doesn't mean I won't get sick tomorrow and go home and be with the Lord. But what does it mean? It means that God blesses us, and he delivers us from all our afflictions, all of our sins. I gave this illustration several years ago about people, a mechanic coming to the house to work on an appliance or whatever. I remember the old saying used to be, he'd come and they did most of the service at the house. But every now and then they'd come. I remember at the house one time, a refrigerator or stove or something other mama had, and the guy came and he looked at it and he said, "Miss Janie, I can fix this, but I got to take it back to the shop to get it completely well." And I thought that was unusual. Well, then I got to thinking about it in regard to Christians. God can deliver us from every sin, but sometimes he chooses to take us back to the shop. He takes us back to heaven. And that's an ultimate healing. That is the greatest healing. Never, ever to be sick again. I've been sick and I've gotten sick again and got sick again. May get sick tomorrow. But one of these days, there will be no more sickness at all. He'll deliver us once and for all. And my dear friend, I don't care. You say, "Brother Bill, I got so many physical problems." It makes no difference. He delivers from all our diseases. And then I'll just quote a few and you write these down. Revelation 21 verse 4, he said this, "And God shall wipe away all their tears." So many tears have been shed in these last several weeks. And in your life, many of you, your life has been one trail of tears. I was watching a little something this morning about the Cherokee Indians once again. And when our government did such a wicked thing against all the Native Americans and gathered them together and marched them in what's called the Trail of Tears. One third of those Indians died before they ever got there. Took them out to Oklahoma, and what an awful thing. But at any rate, that Trail of Tears. But some of you could depict your life as being a trail of tears. One thing after another, one heartache after another, one heartache after another. But the Bible said God can deliver us from all of our fears. The little devotion that you didn't see, that you might see later, the sun was coming up at my house. And I stood out there and I said, "You know what, this reminds me of a verse. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning." It was a beautiful day. I mean, the sun was coming up. The day before had been gloomy and foggy and bad. And when I got up, but this is a new day now. The sun's coming up. My dear friend, you're in a dark place right now, but God can wipe away all your tears. No, I don't care how many tears you've got. All is more than many. And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "My God shall supply all of your needs." You may not get it at the Walmart. You might not get it at the food line, but God will supply all of your needs. I promise you that. Whatever you need, he'll give you. Every need, all you need. You can add them up all you want to and just write a total called all, A-L-L. God will meet every need you've got. Some of you go back to eat the old-fashioned way. I've told the story many times when we first went to Tennessee Temple School and had the children with us, had two other kids with us, the oldest ones. And we lived in a one-bedroom apartment, four of us, and there at Chattanooga when I was in school. I walked down the back alley on several occasions and picked up bottles. You could sell bottles back then, 2 or 3 cents a piece, and got a little money and went to the store and bought some dried beans, Regina Cook dried beans, fatback, and we sat there, and boy, it was great. I had bought two little pieces of bubble gum and gave to Melissa and Charles, and they were tickled to death with them. That takes a Cadillac car, but they were tickled then with a two-piece of bubble gum, and I was sitting there, just me and my wife and our two children. They were whacking away on that bazooka bubble gum, and I thought, man, this is great, great. We've got biscuits, we got fatback, we've got dried beans. Everybody's happy, and it dawned on me. And I said, we're poor as Job's turkey. We don't have no money. I said, Mama used to cook stuff like this all the time: dried beans, homemade biscuits, and stuff like that. Molasses, man, you can't hardly beat a biscuit with molasses, and all. I thought she just did that cause it was good. Mama cooked like that because we was poor, but I never knew it. My dear friend, you get back to where your family is together and you just love one another. Don't take much to make you happy. We just got too many things. Now, I believe God's taken a few things away from us so we can appreciate that that's real. My dear friend, God will supply all of your needs. But then I come back to Psalm 103 and it says this, "He forgiveth all our iniquities." Revelation said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin. You say, "Brother Bill, I'm a wicked sinner." I've had people tell me over and over again, I have been a wicked person. I am a wicked person. I've sinned so much. Makes no difference. All is more than many. I don't care how many sins you've got, how much you've disobeyed God. All is more than many. He's able to cleanse us. He said in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. White as snow. Wash them white as snow. All of them gone. Blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin. I may have shared this with some of you recently. You know that I can't even say the word, technologically challenged. I just have never applied myself in that area. I think I probably could grasp it if I'd work with it a little bit, just choose not to. But you know, I had a calculator. It's a Texas Instrument calculator. It's a good one. And I had probably 15 or 20 numbers I was adding up. And I was going through there and everything was going fine until I hit a wrong number to put into the total. And there it was, biggest day, completely reversed. The dyslexia kicked in. I had it backwards. And I said, now what am I going to do? And I got to looking, and I saw a CE button on that thing. It said CE. And I said, could that possibly be clear error? And I prayed, and I hit that button, and sure enough, that number vanished. I put in the right number, and I was just having a time. Only had about four or five numbers left out of about 25. And I was just rejoicing. And while I was doing that, I was looking. I saw CE, and right below that, I saw a big C. And I said, what in the world does that big C stand for? And the devil told me it means calculate. It don't mean calculate. I hit it. And you know what? All my numbers went away. My screen became blank. It took away everyone. Just one little touch, and they were all gone. Can I tell you right now, it'll take just one little touch of the Master's hand and all your sins will be gone. You come to Christ today and give your heart to Him. You cry out to Him, say, well, God, oh, Lord, I've got so many sins. You could go back through the years and list the things you've done, but you know how long it takes Him to take care of all of them? Just one touch. All is more than many. All of your sins. Oh, there's so many things I could share with you this morning, but I want to run quickly back to the book of Revelation chapter 4. Listen to what it said. There's coming a day when there'll be no more death. Oh, there have been so many deaths. I pastored for 52 years. I buried so many people. I buried infant babies. I buried teenagers. I buried young adults. I buried mature adults. I buried senior people, senior saints. I've never had a funeral that I enjoyed. Some of them are easier. But oh, listen, sometime I stand to preach in a funeral, some of our church family, and God gives me composure through all of that. But what many of you don't know, that before I ever came in the pulpit, I had wept through the night about that family. And after the service, I get in my car and go down the road and weep. Oh, wouldn't it be something if we didn't never have to see another death? So many deaths. But one day, He takes care of all of them. No more death. Sorrow. So many sorrows I've had, so many sorrows I've experienced in people I've pastored, and I wished I could take away the pain. Oh, but I can't. But all that sorrow, so many, many, many sorrows, He can take away all the sorrows, and one day He'll take away all the sorrows forever. There's coming a day, He said, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. Oh, we wept over people that were lost. We wept over people who were Christians who got in sin. We wept over broken fellowships. We wept over betrayals. All those things, if you've gone home. People wept over broken marriages and children who've gone astray and spend the night weeping and praying for their kids. So much crying, so many tears. But the Bible said this coming today, there'll be no more crying. He can wipe away all of them. All of them's gone. And then no more pain. No more pain. Some of you are experiencing pain not only in your body, but in your heart and your spirit. But one day all that pain will be gone. All is more than many. Whatever it is today, all your fear, all your trouble, all your afflictions, all your tears, all your needs, all your sin, all your sorrow, all your crying, all your pain, one day it'll all be gone. And He can give you victory. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why? Why, David, are you so excited about that? He said, verse number 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me. I'm telling you right now, my dear friends, as Christians, everybody else, it's time for us to seek the Lord. These are days of seeking the Lord. I'm still praying. I'm praying that on Easter Sunday, this building can be filled. Is God going to do that? I don't know. Can he do that? Oh, yes, he can. I mean, he can just stop this thing, and they could come on CNN and Fox News and say, somehow or another, mysteriously, we've had test after test all day on Saturday. Not one other case anywhere in the world can we find today. On Resurrection Sunday, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. I believe Mike could do it for us. Let's pray that he does. If he doesn't, we're going to still have a great service. We shift gears in April. This has been Missions Month, and of course, God's changed some of that for us. But all the month of April is a new vision, 2020 vision of the cross. So next Sunday morning, I'll begin preaching on the cross and Calvary. And then Easter Sunday, we have a risen Savior. Thank God for that. But right now, today is an important day for you. If you're at home, if you're a Christian, you've been battling with these things. The devil will fight against you. You got fears. And then the devil will tell you you're not right with God because you got fears. David had fears. And he said, what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to just trust you. God take care of all your fears, all your troubles, all your sorrow. He'll take care of it. But seek him. Call out to him. And his ears are open. His eyes are upon you. He's waiting for us to repent and to humble us here. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will bless our friends here in the community. Our Father, for our church family. Our Father, how we love them. And Lord, how we want to be with them and spend time with them and fellowship with them. Hug necks and rejoice like we do around here. But God, for these few days, you have us alone. But God, I'm sure glad that your eyes are upon us and your ears are open to our prayers. And I pray, God, that we shall spend these days with our family, reconnecting and having great fellowship with our family, enjoying what you've created. God, enjoy the days and go out and just be watch simple things, the birds and Lord, all your creation. Help us to love your word and spend time in the word of God and have a minister of intercession. God, I pray that people will use every medium they have to contact friends and family. And Lord, just keep a check on one another and just encourage one another in these days. Give our president your wisdom and power. I pray, God, you draw him closer to you every day. I pray for Mike Pence, Lord, that you'd bless him, that he would continue to be a stabilizing influence and have the presence and power of God on him and all of our governmental leaders. I pray for our governor today and all of his staff and the decisions that need to be made here in our state. Lord, we want to thank you for our school teachers who today are home and Monday will be at home. And God, I pray that, God, you'd bless them and all of our emergency personnel and all those of law enforcement that are out. And they're keeping people safe and hazard to their own life. And I pray, God, that you just bless all of those folks. And God, again, you put your arms around our church family and our friends far and near. Lord, we ask, God, your blessing on all those who join us today. And as they share this message, I pray to be a blessing to others across the land. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Tune in tonight at 6:30 for the message on Where is the Lamb? God bless you, and you let us know if you have any needs, and we'll try to help you any way we can. May the Lord bless you today. God bless.